one, okay, so there's a DC Direct where she's in her, it's like a purple outfit with a top hat. That would be her first appearance. That's from the Hawkman.
She has a top hat on.
So,
Is her in the top hat?
Yeah. So, that, I mean, I'm colorblind. It may be black, but purple and black don't look anywhere near like each other.
Right.
So, and then there's one from Justice League Dark where she's in, like, her black outfit. Well,
this is the first appearance.
Okay. That would actually be kind of cool if you find it.
Okay. I'll put it aside.
I want to take a look. Sometimes these figures look cool, sometimes not so much.
Right.
I do like that Justice League Dark, but I'm just bad about spending, like, $25 on an action figure.
Nah, you won't have to spend that much.
I can get them out of the box at Comic Palooza or whatever for like $5.
Easily.
But then I'm turning around and spending like $20 on a slice of pizza for my kid. So it kind of comes out in the wash.
It's amazing what we spend things on. We don't think about it. You
know,
you throw money down on it. Especially food. God, food is so expensive. Today I was going to order some barbecue. I was like, $30 for two people to eat barbecue? That's ridiculous. What are you talking about?
Don't get me started, man.
You know, in Louisiana, there's all these places, these plate lunch shacks that they have, where you could go and, you know, for $7, you have a huge meal. You have dinner, you know, and you can't find that anymore, man.
It's available, it's around, but it is kind of, I don't understand how food got hipstered. Like, it's like street tacos, like taco truck tacos.
Taco truck's ridiculous, man.
You used to be able to get, and you still can, if you're at a gas station that's not real popular, you can still get some good like taco truck tacos for $1. But I used to get taco truck tacos for a buck, and now everybody found out about it, and now taco truck tacos are like $5, and they have special hipster salsa that you have to buy, and you're like, what the hell?
Well, they have Food Truck Friday once a month out here, and one person cannot eat for less than $15. There's no way.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy, but they have a lobster food truck.
We used to call them the Roach Coach back.
Yeah, so we go to Roach Coach. Remember, I never forget the Roach Coach we used to go to. It was on the strip where the university is in Lafayette, and I used to bounce next door to the Roach Coach. And a guy named Alex owned it, and Alex owed Heroes. He told everybody he was from Greece, all this other stuff, and I had a Greek friend of mine with me one night, and we walk up to the Roach Coach, and all of a sudden his face just drops, and he looks at Alex, and he goes, "He's a effing Turk." And dude, I did not realize the hatred between the Turks and the Greeks. And I thought they were about to go to fisticuffs, man. It was insane. They just sort of, you're a Turk. And I'm like, couldn't believe, out of nowhere. Just, it was, that's awesome. Blew me away, man. I'm like, I just want a burger.
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Scary Dad Podcast. It's been a while since we had a very special episode, but this one's not a very special episode. It's just kind of serendipitous. This is episode number 13, and it's actually dropping on the 9th, but this Friday will be Friday the 13th. It's a good day for everybody. I mean, it's got some historical context that, you know, sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not true, depending on what internet you're looking at and on what day. It's a really cool horror movie franchise that we're actually going to be talking about.
One of the biggest franchises for horror movies, for sure.
So we're gonna be getting into that in a minute. Friday the 13th. Well, the 13th. The number 13 is actually a lucky number for me. My wife and my daughters both have the number 13 in their birthdays at some point. So that's a good thing. So join us, sit back, relax, and listen to us talk about all things Friday the 13th. But before we get started, we're going to cut into our little history segment here. This would be January 9th. So what happened on January 9th, Mr. Scott?
Let's see
Swamp
what we got
Thing,
here.
Fontenot, take us away.
I am here. Okay, in the wonderful year of 1349, the Jewish population of Basel, Switzerland. Is that correct? Am I pronouncing that right?
I guess.
Believed by the residents to be
the cause.
Cause of the ongoing Black Death. Rounded up and incinerated, which is interesting. It didn't just kill them, they incinerated them. They burned the bodies, tried to end that Black Death.
They had to burn that plague.
Yeah, Black Death was some serious stuff, man.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry about the rodents that are running around. Let's go ahead and
Care of the Jews.
Let's get the Jewish population to take care of that first.
It's no laughing matter. It's just historical context. You know, we know what caused the Black Death. We know that the fleas were hopping off the people as they were being burnt.
Oh yeah, they wasn't killing them. They were just moving on. It reminds me of I watched Monty Python Search for the Holy Grail yesterday, and the scene when they're trying to determine if this woman's a witch. that's exactly the same type of mentality behind it. You know, no logic, just this must be the cause.
You know what's funny is as bizarre as it sounds, in the last several months I've actually gone from being what I guess you'd call the mainstream viewpoint, or if people are like, oh wow, it's just crazy, the whole witch hunts and the witch finders and the tests and and all of that, the fear, the panics, to being almost, I'm not anti-witch by any stretch, but I'm more sympathetic towards the hunters and the people who, and the townsfolk, the people who are scared of the witches. And not because innocent people didn't get accused of things. Innocent people get accused of things all the time.
Yep.
And we know now how climate and science and, you know, just, you know, agriculture works in ways that they didn't back then.
Yeah, they weren't educated.
But, you know, it was pointed out to me on an episode of a podcast I listened to called Lore. He's talking about how, like, now when we talk about, and that this one was about, like, the Pied Piper of Hamelin, and how there was actually rat hunters that would, you know, they were exterminators, but, you know, how serious a rat infestation in your town would be.
Right.
He says, because if a rat gets into your bag of flour, you kill the rat, chase the rat away, you throw the flour away, and then you go down to the store and you buy more flour. Back then, if a rat got into your flour and befouled enough of it, you could die. So if you started having crops fail, if you started having livestock, if you started having cows give sour milk, you know, diseased animals, things falling over and dying,
you weren't gonna eat.
You and your family and possibly your village could die.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people, you know, they were well versed, they were quite literate. You know, you were born reading the Bible, and the Bible's no joke as far as linguistics goes. I mean, most of them were at least somewhat literate.
Right.
You know,
right.
They knew how to work the land. They're a lot hardier. I mean, you take many of us, myself included, and you put us up against any of the Puritan pilgrims, and you drop us in the middle of the wilderness and see which one comes alive in 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, we'd be dead, they'd be thriving, okay? So we don't give them enough credit. We just think that they were a bunch of superstitious and scaredy cats.
But
the reality was, if there was something or someone that was suspect, the smart thing to do is to get rid of it.
Right.
Now, that being said, if she floats, she's a witch, so we kill her, and if she drowns, then her soul is saved, and she's dead anyway. That's a pretty shitty test, no matter which way you run it. But no, it's like, I never thought that I would be in any way sympathetic towards the townsfolk and the witch hunters until I saw it from that perspective,
right.
And I'm like, well, you know, we do the same thing.
That was their reality. That's all they knew.
Yeah.
You know, and they had to defend that. You know, it was what they didn't know anything outside of that.
Right.
You know, it...
So, you know, scary, you know, interesting, scary little tidbit. Have you seen The Witch, by the way?
The Witch.
The new one, this?
No, I haven't.
You ought to check it out. It's good. You said you had a goat, right?
Yep.
You won't want to have a goat after you see that.
Devil eyes. Okay, and this day in history, as far as birthdays go, in 1913, a young Richard Nixon was brought into this world.
That's kind of scary.
And then that's in 1324, we had the passing of Mr. Marco Polo.
Probably didn't hang out at pools much in those latter days.
I doubt it.
So, as far as show prep, I don't know how much show prep you did. I've seen all the Friday the 13th movies a couple of times, and I think that qualifies me as a critical analyst.
I did some prep just to get some of those details that I wasn't aware of before, just to see. Like, I wasn't aware, I'd never seen this list, but Friday the 13th franchise is actually number 7 in the top franchises across genres.
Really?
So
Star Wars and Batman and like all the way down the line.
Everything.
Friday the 13th number 7.
Yep.
Does that include merchandising or is that just box office and movies?
I think it's a combination of box office and impact on culture.
Okay.
Both of those things. It came out at number 7. And what was the requirements was you had to have at least three episodes by the time they did the survey and stuff, and they went through the rest. But yeah, but when you think about it, whenever they did the survey, there were 10 Friday the 13ths we've had so far, 12 Friday the 13ths so far we've had,
yeah,
in different variations.
So they're talking about rebooting the series actually.
Yeah, there's a movie, they're writing a reboot on the movie. The movie itself is supposed to come out in 2017 is the date now. They have, but they've been kicking that around for since 2006.
I watched it was a YouTube documentary that was a critical analysis of the like 7-hour documentary that somebody did on the franchise.
Right.
But essentially it was talking about how despite its fame and its popularity, like behind the scenes, and not really behind the scenes of the films themselves, but like in the producers' offices, the producers, directors, creators, and the people who hold the rights, nobody's ever quite gotten along. And then that doesn't mean like they're not along with like each other, but they've always disagreed about the direction they wanted to mm-hmm. take it. In that, like for example, they never wanted Jason to become a thing. He was just an apparition in a dream sequence, but then he became the
main, right? Yeah, right?
Friday the 13th, the series, sort of like Halloween, was going to be like a Tales from the Crypt, only in full-length movies.
Which is the television series ended up doing.
Which
being
each
like
different
that.
Story, each different movie was a different story.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw how well that worked with the Halloween franchise, and, you know. But, yeah, so I'll really believe it when I see it. What did you think of that reboot, by the way?
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
I have not seen it, no. I stay away from... I don't mind sequels or continuations. Reboots, I tend to not watch. Unless I hear that I have to.
Right.
Just because I don't like taking away what I like so much about the originals.
See, I enjoyed it because... First of all, I didn't hear too much good about it, but I didn't really hear anything bad about it. It was just there. But I had, you know, one friend tell me, you know, like, oh, it's good, you should check it out. Watched it with my sister. She and I both like scary movies. It held up.
Mm-hmm.
I've read some bad critical, you know, some like bad reviews since that were in really ways just sort of petty. Like,
right.
But let's put it like this. It didn't bring anything new to the table. It was Jason Voorhees killing teenagers in the woods from start to finish. There was no moral. There was no social justice. Mm-hmm. It just, that's what it was.
Well, that's what they wanted it to be.
And I enjoyed it for that. It didn't break new ground. It didn't need to break new ground. It just needed to break skulls. Blades off into eyeballs, and that's what it did.
Well, you know what's interesting?
So I enjoyed it for that. And there were some really good, legitimate scares.
Yeah.
And some good kills in it. Like, special effects were good. I tend to stay away from the reboots myself because a lot of times they dumb them down and they PG-13.
Oh, they do a bunch of special effects and everything to try to make it better than the original, and it takes away from what was good about the original.
Right. So, but I enjoyed it. It was good. Yeah. It was, you know, my favorite one is part 4. It was no part 4. But it was fun.
Okay.
You know, I think you'd enjoy it.
Okay, I might have to check it out then.
So,
what I found interesting in my research is just one interview that I saw with the original producer of Friday the 13th is what they were looking for. And this is one of the reasons they were panned so bad by, like, the mainstream critics, like Roger Ebert and them. They wanted characters with no background, so the audience would not care when they died. You know, they wanted people laughing at the movie when it ever went down. You know, they wanted these characters in there that once, you know, they were killed by Jason's mom, that people would just move on to the next one. There'd be no sad emotion. They haven't lost anything. They wanted, that's what they wanted to go with all of them.
That kind of doesn't make sense. I mean,
they wanted it to be a scary movie that was also laughable, that people got into. But yeah, they didn't want any connection. They didn't want any background. Originally, you know, Jason wasn't supposed to come back for the third one. You know, he was going to be in the second one, and that was it. But it just, he became what Friday the 13th was, man. It's, you know, the hockey mask didn't show up till
part
number
three,
and that is one of the most well-known images with horror there is.
Right. Well, and you always have to wonder what it would be like. I don't think that if they hadn't, I mean, they were making part three when the hockey mask came into play. I don't know if it was like pre-production or, you know, whatever, because I heard that it was just like the lighting effects guy. They were going to put a mask on him, so they just threw that mask on him for some...
It's such an odd mask.
You know, so for some photography effects, and they're like, oh, that's what we're going to use. But, no, as far as like becoming this cultural icon from literally one movie to the next, because Friday the 13th Part 3, I enjoy it, but it is not great cinema.
No.
Part 4, to me, is probably the quintessential Friday the 13th movie. He's got his mask. There are good, legitimate scares.
See, with me, it's 2.
You know, he didn't have his mask then.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary. And in fact, you know, that was probably one of the first horror scenes I'd ever seen. There's that scene, there's that kill where the kid gets caught in the tree snare.
Yes.
And he's hanging upside down, and then Jason walks up and slits his throat. I remember seeing that. I was like 5 years old or something. I had to be a little bit older than that. But I remember my dad was watching it, and I saw that, and like, oh my God, what are you watching, you know? So like, no, 2 is great. But as far as, like, the Friday the 13th that everybody knows, where Jason's got the mask, and he's hiding behind mirrors and all that stuff, you know, that would be Part 4. Part 4 is going to be my favorite. I like Part 3 a lot, too, just because...
Which one do you hate the most?
I did not... I don't like... I didn't like 7. The New Blood. Mm-hmm. Or not the New Blood. New Blood was Part 5.
5, yeah.
7 was the psychic chick.
Yeah, the
acting in
Carrie versus Jason, as some people say.
Yeah. That the acting in that one was so over the top horrible. Like all of them the acting's not good. That one was the acting was so bad it was distracting.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were chewing up lines, and you know, it's like she just saw somebody die and she's like fake crying. It's like, I just can't believe this is happening. And you're just like, where did you go to acting school?
Yeah. It was
like,
it was
I couldn't watch it. The Jason himself was pretty cool, but, that's my least favorite would be 7.
Okay. Mine was Jason Takes Manhattan. I just didn't think that was Jason Takes Manhattan. That title alone tells me we're just trying to jump a shark here. And
they jumped the shark at 8. The problem with Jason Takes Manhattan is that he never took Manhattan.
He was on a cruise ship the whole time on his way.
He's on a cruise ship. And once he got to New York, he didn't kill any New Yorkers.
He gets killed. He dies.
He was chasing the people from the boat.
Right.
That got off the boat. He didn't go after, like, just regular New York. Like, he got a couple of them, but he didn't, like...
They lead him down to the sewer and they kill him. And then that's it. He does nothing at all in New York.
Yeah.
Himself, to any New Yorkers. That was an annoying one.
Yeah, that...
I did like Freddy versus Jason.
Can I change my vote? No, I mean, there's a lot of good and bad in all of them. I would think, again, and I keep coming back to 4, but only for a second. That's when you've got Tommy Jarvis.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Feldman, for all the shit he gets, is actually a pretty good actor. He was a whole lot better back then.
Another shout out to Corey Feldman.
You know, shout out to Corey
Feldman, man.
you know, and that's when the movie, that's when the franchise kind of came into its own. Like, I really enjoyed, Part 5, even though Jason wasn't in it. Twist ending, but, you know, yeah. Spoiler alert.
If you haven't seen it since 1985.
Jason Voorhees is not the villain in Part 5.
There's a copycat.
It's a copycat killer. Jason's under the ground waiting to get stabbed by Tommy Jarvis and electrocuted. Popped back up in Episode 6.
Yeah, electrocuted twice. There were two movies where they brought him back then.
Yeah.
Once on purpose and once by accident.
Mm-hmm. So what is it about Jason that you think is just... What is it about him that's scary? So, but before you answer, let me point out, Part 4, the end of Part 4 is when human Jason dies. Jason is ostensibly, he's still pretty much mortal.
Yeah.
And he dies at the end of Part 4. Absent in Part 5, in Part 6, he's brought back as Zombie Jason.
Yeah.
And Zombie Jason is what pretty much everybody knows. But prior to that, he was hurt.
He
somehow survived his injuries and went back on a rampage, but he was not indestructible. He could be hurt. He could be killed.
You could get away from him and survive.
So there's human Jason. There is
Zombie Jason.
Zombie Jason.
And there's Dream Jason.
we'll get into that one. That goes on a whole different tangent. But what's your take, and what do you think about it? Is it makes it scary?
Similar to what we talked about before with Michael Myers, it's like a great white shark. He's just a machine that kills, and it's all that he wants to do. You know, he's not worried about making friends. He's not worried about the way he kills people or the order he kills people or who he kills. He's a killing machine, you know, and it's motivation behind everything. It's just, he doesn't even have to be at Camp Crystal Lake. He's just on a path, vengeance for what happened to his mom, and he just wants to kill everybody.
Right.
And that's, you know, while he can be hurt, he is pretty much unstoppable through the first three movies. I mean, there's nothing you can do against Jason.
Right.
You know, as slow as he walks, he never really runs. He just walks.
Has a nice little gait. He does a couple times,
but normally it's just a nice steady gait, and you're not going to get away from him because he's going to catch you.
They're his woods. He knows his way around. he knows all the little little game trails and the little step-offs and stuff. He doesn't teleport yet.
Not yet. God.
Yeah, I think I agree. The kind of just, there's no reasoning. There's no...
And you can't get away.
Stop. There's no begging. There's no pleading. There's no crying. He pretty much wraps it up to where you're not going to get away in your car. He's already taking your distributor cap. He kills any cops that show up.
You know,
your phone line's out. Like, you are just hunter and hunted until you get taken down.
Right.
I remember when I was a kid, it was Jason Voorhees that kept me up at night. You know?
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid, I had night terrors, right? So, like I could watch scary movies, but then whenever I went to bed later, my mind would just go.
Yeah.
And, so for a while there, like in my, I'd say like, until I was maybe like 12 or 13, I just avoided anything horror related. If I saw it, I was like, certain things I could handle, but most of it I was like, not because it bothered me, but because it would bother me later.
Mm-hmm.
And the main culprit in there was Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
Because he didn't care.
You couldn't stop him.
You couldn't stop him. You know, there's no mom and dad. Doesn't matter how many guns dad has.
And you're not going to get away.
You're not going to get
away.
He's
going to be there.
And I used to get so, like, wrapped up trying to sleep, man. It was just like, until finally, it's like, you know, whenever you just kind of accept your fate. I was just like, you know. And this was like an actual conversation I had in my head of, if he's here, there's nothing you can do. So you might as well sleep through it. And finally, I just, like, let go and was able to, like, sleep through it. And ever since then, man, I could watch scary movies and it didn't bother me because if I'm laying there and I'm trying to sleep, and something, you know. But that's how I rate the scariness of scary movies. Because if I go lay down and that triggers, then it's that was a damn good movie.
Right. If I catch myself looking over my shoulder, either while the movie's playing or after the movie, it's just something... That was a good movie that I watched.
Yeah.
So,
you know, the quintessential horror movie villain. He's got the highest body count.
Yep.
Between
highest box office on all the franchises also. Mm-hmm.
Whenever they came out with the, you know, like in the late 90s or whatever, I guess McFarlane's Movie Maniacs came out, so started doing like horror movie action figures. Mm-hmm. And so you start being able to, like, at Spencer Gifts, get the different, like, dolls and figures of the horror movie franchise people. I know that just took off because I had them all.
Yeah.
You know, I had, and there was like the Jason, there was the bloody Jason, and then a clean one, mm-hmm. you know.
With it just the, in pop culture and in society, just that horror genre has a stranglehold. I mean, look, I feel like Puppet Master is one of the ones. They have so many variants of Puppet Master figures. It's unreal, man.
Uh-huh.
My cousin has every single one, including he sent me today. He's got the trading cards, the old 90s trading cards from Puppet Master, which I didn't even know they had any. So go look for them.
what's your favorite kill in the Friday the 13th? Or what's your favorite couple of them? Because there can't be a single favorite.
Honestly, even though the movie sucks, you know, well, one would definitely be the throat slice with the guy upside down in 2. I like that a lot. And just the pitchfork in 3. Just that he was, that's a weapon, man. I have a full-size pitchfork over here in my barn, and that would do some serious damage to anybody, man, if you get that through him. Because I throw it every once in a while just for shits and giggles. And that thing goes deep in the ground. It's hand, and there's no force behind it but throwing it. The pitchfork kill. I just thought that was awesome. Just off the top of my head, those are the two that stand out the most.
Yeah, there's the one that always sticks in my head, and it's from Part 5. But so, like, there's a guy and a girl, and they go do it in the woods, and then he goes off to take a leak, and Jason catches him and, like, wraps his neck up with... So he garrots him up against a tree and, like, keeps twisting it to where the dude's head basically pops off. But the girl is laying on the ground in her, like, little after-sex haze. And it's all boobs, and she's just laying there, like, doing her, you know, naked chick thing. And then Jason pops out, and he's got a set of hedge clippers. And he just sunk right into her eyes. And then it's off-screen. And I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while. I'm not sure, but I think he closes.
Yeah, he does.
So, and that's brutal.
It is pretty brutal. Now, Freddy vs. Jason, he has some good kills, too. That he had the one guy where he bent him in half in the bed. Yeah, that was pretty gruesome. There was blood all over the place for that one. Because he stabbed him 50 times beforehand.
Before he smushed
him. And then went ahead and broke him in half. Just to.
That's also a cheesy one where he, like, pops that dude's head around.
Yes.
And the dude's still holding his head up. Yeah. Like, no, he would have just kind of, you know... But
and then he's walking out at the end with Freddy's head in his hand.
Yeah,
as Freddy winks at you.
Have you seen the Freddy versus Jason versus Ash?
I've got one of the books. I haven't read it yet, but I want to get into it and check it out.
It's good. Spoiler alert: everybody dies. I mean, like
the way it should be.
But no, what it is, apparently it's a second, I've got the Dream Warrior, the Nightmare Warriors, which is the second series. There's the first one that I haven't read, but you get it all caught up. But essentially, it brings everybody together in that it was Pamela Voorhees used the Necronomicon to wake Jason up.
Okay, all right.
So that's why Jason is what he is.
But at what point does she do it?
Before.
Okay.
Before she dies.
Okay.
They don't go deep into it. It's just a little aside to explain why these three characters are in the same universe.
In the same plane, yeah.
Essentially, Freddy Krueger had possession of the Necronomicon at some point, and that's what gave him his power. Pamela Voorhees had it at some point, Cabin in the Woods style, kind of like Evil Dead. You know, it's like off deep in the forest. Mm-hmm. Pamela Voorhees had it at some point and used it to resurrect Jason. Freddy is using Jason just like in the movie. Freddy is using Jason as a lieutenant, basically, to lead the Deadites and try to take over the world. And then Ash comes and takes care of business. like Ash does. It's good. I've got it, dude. I'll let you read it. It's
just reminded me of something. I remember seeing earlier when apparently there had been talk of crossing over Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And the original write-up actually had Jason being a victim of Freddy. Freddy had molested him when he was little. And Jason tracks him down to get revenge on him. Which I thought, that was like one of the first...
That's kind
of
weird.
I'm glad they didn't come up because that would have sucked so much, man. It would have took so much away from the other Friday the 13th movies.
See, and I liked Freddy versus Jason. A lot of people didn't like it. I enjoyed it for what it was. It had this kind of like... I believe that they have sort of... emasculated is a bad thing. They've turned Jason into too much of a sympathetic character.
He's a machine. He's a killing machine.
By the whole, like, you know, and they did that where, like, oh, you know, Jason's sort of the good guy in this, if you're, you know, if you're taking score. Mm-hmm. No, Jason's not a good guy. He's killed some, like, almost 200 people.
Yeah.
He, you know, and it's not like...
He's not a person. He's a killing machine.
He's a monster. So you can't really... You can't make him good, and you can't make him, like... You can't make him sympathetic just because he died. Like, a lot of people die and they don't resurrect and kill several hundred people, right? So I didn't really like that aspect of it. How, like, they've got him in the back of that truck.
The van, and they have him, they like, keep him asleep.
Water, water's coming out of his mouth and stuff.
He's drowning him, yeah.
It's like...
They give him mouth to mouth.
Come on. But I did enjoy that whole, like, Jason in the dream world thing. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like,
well, my favorite part of that movie was when Freddy was about to kill his first one, and Jason took that kill away from him, and Freddy lost his mind. I mean, that's when the movie really took a turn, and got good, mm-hmm. in my opinion. That's when, like, just the pace picked up, and it was good to enjoy after that, man.
It is a fun movie. There was not much to not like about it. It just had those moments where you're like, really? So that's another thing, is like, you know, like I said, the Pamela Voorhees using the Necronomicon to resurrect Jason.
That's an easy little twist. I like
that's a neat little twist. They could live in the same universe. I'm fine with that. That is the only other explanation for why Jason went from being a dead 12-year-old to a living 20-something-year-old giant. When Pamela went on a rampage because... Jason died, but he's there watching her die. Like, that's a leap of, like, logistical calisthenics where you're like, wait a second, what?
Right.
Explain this. That explains it. I like that.
Yeah, there's a cool way to bring it in.
So maybe she went out and she performed the ritual, and it seemed as if it didn't work, so she went on a rampage, and he's like, sits up and is like, you know,
that's a perfect way to bring it out. But I'm trying to, like, envision when she would have done it. You know, was it like from the beginning of the first Friday, or did she realize that her time was about to end? You know, she wasn't going to be able to finish killing everybody, so she was able to bring.
I think it would have happened before she went on a rampage.
Yeah, that's what it should have been. But just, you know, you could have mixed it in a few different.
Well, because hadn't the camp had been closed for a long time.
But he also didn't come out of the water until the very end of the movie. So if his body was down at the bottom of the lake and she woke him up right before she got decapitated, you know,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, you know, he's waking up and he jumps out of the water to get his revenge for killing his.
The camp was closed for 20 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So he would have woke up and, like, aged real quick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when he first jumped out of the water, he was still a kid.
Yeah, but that was a dream.
Yeah, you're right. They explained that. Yeah, in the beginning of a. Okay, sorry. I was just...
Hey, man, that's how these podcasts go. We've got to get into the science behind Friday the 13th. It's important. We're gonna do some math and... Okay, so what's your least favorite? What's the cheesy kills?
Oh, I'm trying to remember the one. Go ahead and go with yours while I try to remember the one that I'm thinking of right now. I'm trying to remember which movie it was from.
I didn't like the one in Jason vs. Freddy where he snaps that dude's head around and the dude's head stays up and he just has a weird look on his face.
That one is pretty bad.
Let's see.
In one, the fat guy that gets killed. I didn't care for that one too much in the first one. I'm trying to remember if I'm thinking of the right one in the first one or if it was in a different movie. Because there's a fat guy in every one of them. That was kind of staple back in the 80s. You had one fat guy.
Yeah.
That was, your token fat kid.
Well, and that one dude that had the hockey mask.
Yeah, that was in three. Yeah, I think that might be the one that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Just, a lot of the kills in three were cheesy because they tried to blend the 3D effect into the kill, and it was just ridiculous. It gave it just a campy, comical aspect to it. So pick any kill from three. Go ahead and say that.
Well, there's that one in part six where he presses that chick's face on the inside of the van.
Yes.
And it, like, kind of relieves out the metal.
Yeah. There's an impression in it. That's not going to happen.
That's cheap. Like, that ain't going to work.
It would not happen at all. I don't think what else. Because he's killed a lot of people, man. Good Lord.
Oh, yeah. There's actually a montage on YouTube of all of his kills.
Really?
Up till Jason X.
Gotta be 15 minutes long.
It is. It's long. There's that one where he, like, just finds himself holding the dude's severed arm, and he kind of, like, looks at it and, like, throws it on the ground.
One good kill he had, wasn't it, it was in Freddy vs. Jason when he threw the flaming, pipe to somebody, and it went through him and it was still on fire. That was a good kill. I like that one. I'm trying to think of some of the other bad ones from that movie. I keep thinking of Freddy had some really crappy ones in that movie. One where the guy was smoking weed and turned into the caterpillar with the hookah pipe.
In the remake, they had a really good one where dude is running. Like, he comes across Jason, sees him, turns around, and he runs. Jason gets the axe and flings it, but it doesn't kill him. It, like, hits him in the back, and, like, takes him down, and the dude's laying there screaming.
Jason gets up to him.
Jason's trying to attract them out of the house. You're like, help me, help me. Nice. And he's like standing, like he goes off in the woods and waits for somebody to come out and help. And then he gets, it's like, there are some really good ones in that remake too. Like,
I'll have to check
it out. He remakes the, where he gets he gets the chick, he bashes her in the sleeping bag against the tree.
Yes.
In the remake, I think he does the same thing. He bashes her. But she's still alive. He ties her feet, and he hangs her in her sleeping bag upside down over the bonfire.
Oh, wow.
He cooks her. And then, like, whenever the sleeping bag finally breaks, she falls out of it, and she's all burnt. Like, still alive.
Yeah, that is,
like,
pretty... That is intense.
It's intense. It's bad. They got some good ones.
I'm gonna check out that remake, definitely.
I'd imagine working on a Friday the 13th movie would be a lot of fun.
I got a stack of horror movies that high right now I gotta watch, man. I bought a bunch of independent ones and just some lesser known movies. I picked up a bunch of crappy movies. Remember Blind Fury? I even picked that up. I used to love that movie, man.
Is that the Rutger Hauer?
Yeah. I had a blind friend of mine. That was one of his favorite movies, was Blind Fury. He actually used to say, "Welcome to my world," every time the lights went out.
It was good stuff. So talking about toys, you had that. You still have that naked Jason?
Yeah, oh yeah. So I still got Jason. I have two Jasons right now. I have the big one's zombie Jason, of course, but I have a smaller one that's more around the lines of part four. So I've still got my 6 foot Jason, which is also from around part three, part four. I love my Jason, man, for sure. I got a cool list I wanted to go over though, real quick. They got a few twists in here that kind of surprised me, but it's the top horror franchises, not just all across the board, but just horror. Of course, number one is Friday the 13th. Okay, number two is Nightmare on Elm Street, which you would assume they've had so many, because this is like just total gross with all the movies that they had. After Nightmare on Elm Street comes Hannibal Lecter.
That doesn't surprise me. Silence of the Lambs and...
Well, the thing about it is it didn't just cater to a horror crowd. Right. Everybody enjoys this movie. So, and then we go with Halloween. I was actually surprised at Halloween being there because Saw comes after it. Saw had a lot more episodes than Halloween did.
True.
But Halloween also did, you know, Season of the Witch didn't do very well.
Season Witch didn't do very well. There's an adjustment for inflation, I'm sure.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
But Halloween, the first one, was a blockbuster.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
It was a mainstream blockbuster, not just a horror movie. It was a cultural phenomenon.
Well, it's what spurred Friday the 13th. That's what they were trying to follow, the same model.
Right. But no, I mean, they made a tremendous amount of money off that first one.
Okay.
Saw has always done well, but there's no Saw movie that can touch Halloween.
Oh, yeah, but I was just looking at the number of movies that they had compared. And they had two extra movies.
You know? And I think the Rob Zombie Halloween, the first one, is still...
I didn't think about that. That was going to count on the
still
same series.
Still the number one, until Deadpool, I think was the number one rated R movie of all time. Like, the highest grossing, anyway.
Now that we bring the Rob Zombie versions into it, it makes a lot of sense.
And I think he's still got the highest for Halloween release.
Okay.
The highest rated R movie for Halloween release, or so he's got a couple records for Halloween, so after, that doesn't surprise me, because there's people that are just voracious Saw, but man, they're just throwing sequels at you like a shotgun. Boom, boom, boom.
Well,
boom.
Saw up to 3 was real good, and then it started getting crappy after that. You know, there's only so many really cool ways you can set people up to die. You know, I watched 7 the other day. 7 is awesome. The ways that guy had for the people to atone for their sins. It's pretty wild, man. The guy who wrote that movie had a sick mind, who wrote the screenplay for it.
My buddy Chris and I, Chris Jordan from Dudes and Beer. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Dudes and Beer. So we went and saw that in the theater, and it had just come out.
So you had no idea what it was
about?
We
didn't know. We knew it was a crime movie with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman, Kevin Spacey. Let's go see that shit. We watched that movie. Credits rolled. We got up, went outside, we lit cigarettes, we got in his car, and we drove. And neither one of us said a word. And I, like,
this is an intense experience.
One of us was like, damn. The other one's like, no shit. It's like, whoa. Like, here. And then the Lemonheads wrote that song, Here Comes Gwyneth's Head in the Box.
That was an intense movie, man. Just the kills in it were just wow. I mean, the one, of course, the most just insane one as far as what mind did this come from was the prostitute and the guy. It was,
oh,
Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, when Morgan Freeman and when they find the picture of the thing that Wild Bill made for him, and the guy's like, "You made this?" The guy's like, "I made crazier stuff than that." And they're just looking at him like, "Why would you think this is okay to make?"
Right.
And when they show the picture of it, it's like, "Oh my God." And they never have to actually show the device on the guy. You know, they have him in the blanket and you can tell that it's there. But man, just that is just, this is stuff nightmares are made of.
Oh yeah.
Definitely. After Saw, Psycho. I picked up Psycho 2 on VHS yesterday. I'm looking forward to watching it.
So perhaps, and I haven't seen it since because it's a kind of a scary movie. But perhaps one of the most frightening scenes of any movie I've ever seen in my entire life was in Psycho 3. And it's the scene where he's got a dead girl in the ice maker.
Yeah. Yes.
And there's
yes.
blood, right? And the cop shows up. And
Anthony.
I wanted to say Hopkins. I'm just going to
Perkins.
That's
Anthony
not right.
Perkins.
Anthony Perkins. He's talking to the cop with a knife behind his back, and the cop is like reaches into the ice bucket, and there's blood like right there, and he grabs the ice from right here, and then closes the bucket and takes a chunk, and he like relaxes his grip on the knife because he had it like behind, and like just right there, like this could all be over, just,
right?
You know,
just look,
and that man, that scene haunted me forever.
that's a creepy ass scene, but once again, adjusted for inflation, the original Psycho was just a box office phenomenon. So that's
changed the whole complete game changer there.
After Psycho, we got Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which total gross $304 million, and then we got rounding out the pack, Child's Play. Which Child's Play, that's right where it should be. To be honest with you, it great series. You saw my Bride of Chucky that I recently acquired. That's how I got it for so cheap.
So is Jaws not considered a horror movie franchise?
Apparently not. Nope. Because it would have been. It would have
been up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was expecting you to say Jaws.
Nah, you know, that it's interesting that they didn't count it to that point, but I think in the actual list of all-time franchises, it's pretty up there in the top. It's in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah. So, it's a great movie.
Oh, yeah, Jaws, man. That.
Well, I was expecting you to was like, where is it going to land in there?
Well, when you think about, you know, when we look at the best serial killers from movies, Michael Myers, Jason, they're like the animal in Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to kill. They have no reason. They just want to kill.
Yep.
Period. It's the same formula. You know, the shark in Jaws is a serial killer.
Yep.
That's pretty much what he is.
He's hungry.
Yeah.
He's
just trying to kill. Eat boats and everything else.
bring them down.
Food on that boat, I'm going to go ahead and get it in the water.
There's a video, and I keep going off on different stuff, but there's a video that I tell you about the, there's a father and a son on a boat. And they're like, it's off in like the Atlantic, North Atlantic somewhere, like off of Cape Cod or something. Is it actually, it's North Carolina. But anyway, they're offshore. You can see the shore. They're maybe half a mile from shore. And there's a great white circle in their boat. And at first, the boy and the dad are like, whoa, check it out. Look at him, you know. And then after a while, the shark kind of tightens up its circling.
Closer.
And the boy's like, and the dad's like, get away from the side, son. Don't lose him. Don't, like, keep your eye on him, but don't stick your head over the side. And, like, you can hear him just getting scared as that shark tight. And he's a big shark. He's about as long as the boat. And, dad kicks on the motor, and then the video goes off. And they're, like, heading for home. But it's like, you're watching, like, at first they're just like, whoa, that's neat. Never seen one of those out here. And then, like, later they're
it's
like,
hunting us.
It's time to go.
Sharks are some scary animals, man.
This went from Friday the 13th to sharks. But, hey, I read this article. This was back in the 90s. But this article with this Australian, he was a naturalist, but he was also a fisherman. And when they put great whites on the endangered species list, he's like, this is a warning. You're going to see a whole lot of boating accidents occur. He says, they breach, they hunt, they come out of the water, they don't care.
Right.
If they smell
you. You see the videos of them jumping after seals and stuff.
And jumping into boats and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if they're hungry, they'll come after you. They don't care. And he's like, these are not whales. These are not, you know, he's like,
these are cute little things. Yeah.
He's like, they'll take you off your jet skis. They'll track you. They'll bump you. They'll knock you out of your boat. He's like, you're going to see it. And then, like, 10 years later, I saw another interview with him. He's like, yeah, there was quite a bit of that. And, like, they bring him in to go, like, take out the bad ones.
Uh-huh. They're all bad. But, you know, just sharks in general, man. When I worked offshore, we used to shark fish a lot. And we'd pull some of these black tips and hammerheads up. This is some beast, man. I mean, this is huge, bro. There's this one video I remember seeing, this lady fishing in a canal. It's a saltwater canal, you know, off a larger waterway. And she's bringing in this, I think it's a speckled trout she's bringing in. And this 8-foot shark comes out of nowhere in this canal. And just.
You talking about when the guy's like filming her off the balcony?
Yeah, yes. I've and it just, that. It takes that fish and it hauls ass, man. You would never expect to see that shark. So we used to have that happen with alligators every once in a while in Louisiana. We'd fish in some of the canals. They would quiet, you'd never guess they were there. We'd fish on these weirs where we'd go casting it for shrimp and everything. And I remember one day, my neighbor's son was crabbing on one of the weirs. We had dropped him off. And we left him there while we went to catch shrimp. We came back 2 hours later. He was still in the same weir, same spot. And we came up, and all of a sudden, 6-foot alligator was under that weir the entire time and jumps out and grabs his turkey neck and takes off.
Oh, wow.
The kid never knew it. If that kid would have fell in that water, it would have been his ass. You know, the scary killing. Nature's scary.
Yes.
Nature is scary, man.
It's no joke. There's, you know, I've always been obsessed with sharks since seeing, you know, Jaws at a young age.
Yeah.
And, you know, but there's something primal in there. And I think that exactly what you're saying, was like with the Friday the 13th or whatever, we are afraid of that side of ourselves because there are some of us that are like that.
Yeah.
I have a theory and it's more applied to like politics and police and, you know, people that are ostensibly good people. But it's like, in reality, 10% of everybody in any population are total scumbags. They're just shitty people.
Right.
The only reason that they don't physically hurt people is because they fear reprisal.
Yeah.
But not because of any empathy or goodwill.
It's selfish reasons. It's selfish motivation.
But, you know, any group. So you have a bunch of priests. You have a bunch of cops. You have a
percentage
bunch
of them are going to be crazy.
That percentage of them, you know, well, not crazy.
Yeah. Just
they're just mean.
Yeah.
They're fucked in the head. Mean. Of the, you know, but about 2% are actually psychotic. And then you take that math and you apply that. So, you know, if you got 300 million people in America,
2% is a lot of
2% is a lot of psychopaths.
Yeah.
You know, and you got a lot of people right now on psychotropic drugs keeping their emotions straight. You know, if ever there's a situation where they can't get those drugs, whether it's a natural disaster or a chemical, like whatever chemical's in the drug, like that shortage of that particular compound or whatever, and they can't get those drugs,
like, you end up with a killer like you had in Seven.
That's it. You have a Jason Voorhees. They're real. They right. exist. At the top of the show, or the last show, we said, you know, the British had that serial killer.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of that guy before. Right. But I clicked on the link. He killed like 20-something people. Like, that's a lot of people to be killing and not be well known.
But the thing about it is that there's more than you realize. You know, I picked up a book on a serial killer. I didn't buy it. I'm going to go back and get it. But that Books a Million, and it's a book on just serial killers in the United States from 1950s on up. And there's a lot.
Yeah,
there's a whole lot of serial killers, man, and from just all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all races, all ages, all, you know, income backgrounds, everything. It's just, it's at 2%.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't discriminate on, you know, class or color. It's just that 2% that's going to be, you know, crazy.
Yeah, it's, you know, anytime you get those media things, they'll talk about, like, mass shooters. It's like, oh, it's, like, white people. And it's like, well, actually, no, not really.
Oh, no, yeah.
they're, like, white people kind of tips the scales of percentages, but it's an equal opportunity.
Oh, yeah. DC snipers.
Being a fucking crazy person.
It doesn't know race or class.
No, it does not.
You see, and the thing about it is, you know, knowing that is the reason movies like Seven end up being so scary. Because that guy lives somewhere.
Uh-huh.
That guy actually exists. He knows how to act normal when he's around people.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know where he is. But that guy really exists. And that's the scariest part of that.
Well, and like, one of the things, like, you know, it was Friday the 13th. Before he becomes Zombie Jason, you know, you hear the stories of cops that'll shoot people and they don't know they're shot. Like, it wasn't in the class. So, for those of you who are not from Texas, we have concealed handgun permits. And in order to get the permit, you have to take a class. And when you take the class, most of it is explaining to you all the different ways you can get in trouble.
Yep.
By hurting or shooting somebody, or, like, in other words, be damn sure you're going to do it, or else you're going to ruin your life.
Use your scenarios
without turning an 8-hour class, without cheapening it. But basically, it doesn't give you a license to be Rambo. It
doesn't teach you how to shoot.
It just teaches you, like, that you need to be careful and aware. But there's some ancillary materials that explain how anytime you're in a life-threatening situation, it's the rule of three, and it's 3 feet, 3 seconds, and 3 shots. Generally, that's about how long the altercation lasts, is 3 seconds. You're about 3 feet away, and you usually need 3 shots because the assailant doesn't feel the first two. It takes that long for the brain to register. So if you're somebody's coming at you with a knife or a fist or trying to steal your kid and pull him into a car or something, it takes that long for the brain to register that it's been injured.
Right.
So basically the whole idea is, you know, when you're being met with an opposing force, you can't imagine that you're have really any recourse other than mass, you know, like overkill.
Mm.
Mass effect. Just hit them with everything you got and then run. And you think about something like Jason, where you hit him with everything you got,
he's still
and
coming.
You run. Even if he's human, he's hopped up on something, and he's going to get you.
He's still coming.
He may collapse in the ditch later, but it'll be after you're done.
Yep.
That's what's so scary, is there's just no escape. There's no getting away. Full force of nature.
Actually, you can't run away from him. You can't get away from him. He's going to come. Jason Voorhees. And by the way, it's a misspelling of the last name. In Louisiana, it's V-O-O-R-H-I-E-S is the way it's
spelled. I've seen that.
I actually recently realized I had been spelling it wrong all these years.
He probably killed all the people that misspelled it the first time. Hey, guys, with that, it's going to about wrap us up for this 13th episode of the Scary Dad Podcast. As always, when you're done listening, or even as you're listening, click all the buttons on the website, like the page, share the page, tweet it, follow us on Instagram. We post some stuff up there. We're still going to be doing the giveaways for forum traffic. Invite a friend to like our show. Once we hit 100, and I don't mean 100 people, I mean every 100 that we hit, we're going to do a different giveaway. We'll announce the next giveaway whenever we hit our next 100. And that's it. Subscribe on iTunes.
Share our blog post, share our podcast, just keep in touch. We welcome all kinds of feedback, whether it be positive or negative, just send it our way.
If there's a subject you'd like to cover, or if you actually would like to come and talk with us about a subject, send us an email, hit us up on Facebook. The more the merrier sometimes, you know. We can sit here and talk for hours, but other people can too. So let us know what we can do to improve the show and your listening experience for you. Other than, you know, porn jazz, we're not going to do that. Sorry. In the meantime, everybody, keep it scary. Go watch some Friday the 13th.
Take care.
Laugh, cry, and be scared.
Later. You're with your baby.